committed to the Lord. This will be part one, Cindy. Here's Brother Moore.
Thank you, and will you that are watching turn with me to Second Timothy chapter 1. Thank you for watching today, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I want to remind you again that our television broadcast, what it's all about. Our first aim is to show people that salvation is free. And as in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So there isn't anybody that God doesn't want to be saved. No matter where they've been, no matter what their moral character is, no matter what they've been taught that they are, God would have them to be saved, and they can be saved if they'll trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's that simple. They don't have to go anywhere, say anything, or do anything. Jesus Christ did it all at Calvary. As he hung on Calvary, he was there in your stead, and he died for your sins. And so in that death, in that thing that he did at Calvary, he made available unto you righteousness that are by faith, without any kind of moral character at all on your part. It's the righteousness of Almighty God. It's not something that you change your life to be. It's the righteousness of God, as in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, 22. But in that fact that he died for your sins, there's something else available unto you, and it's justification, which is by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that thought in mind, you know, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 25 that if a man is in a court scene, if he goes to court and he's acquitted of his crimes, that is, if he's declared righteous, in other words, if he didn't do any wrong, then he's to be declared righteous. Righteousness is the opposite of crookedness. Righteousness is the opposite of wrong. So this man is to be declared righteous, and a righteous man is to be justified. So God justifies the righteous. So therefore we that believe on Christ, trust in him as our Lord and Savior, are righteous. Righteousness is put to our account. We're not righteous in our lives, but we are righteous by faith. We are righteous with the righteousness of God put to our account. And if we are righteous, then there's no wrong that can be found in us. So God doesn't see us in our sin. He sees us in the righteousness of his Son. And that having to do with his Son died for our sins. So salvation is free to you. Then the second thing that we want to point out in the broadcast is the establishment of an individual in the faith once he believes. The passage I referred to, 1 Timothy chapter 2, God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So those that are saved by the grace of God need to be established in the faith. And that faith has to do with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul refers to. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about the commitment of Paul. So I want you to read with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 7. He says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, that is, pertaining to the gospel that is referred to in the context. Paul said, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. The things that he's suffering is associated with chains. He became the prisoner of Jesus Christ for going to the Gentiles. He was put in chains because God sent him to people that are vile sinners. You see, people don't mind an individual preaching to good people that they can be saved. Religious people don't mind. They don't get upset if an individual preaches a positive message all the time. You know, there's a little good in everybody. That type of thing. But if you preach negatively, that is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, not one, and all none. If you preach that, people get out of shape. They get upset about that. Paul suffered chains, suffered imprisonment, suffered beatings for going to Gentiles. He could have gone into the synagogue and preached to the people in the synagogue, which would be Jews who kept the law, Gentiles who kept the Jewish law, and so forth. He could preach to them, and the problems weren't that great. But as soon as he said that God Almighty appeared unto me and is sending me unto the Gentiles, those Jews ripped their clothes, threw dust in the air, and said, away with this man. It is not fit that he should live. He ought to die. So Paul suffered for preaching the gospel of Christ, that is, preaching that Gentiles who are unworthy of anything good can be saved. Now again in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, then there is something that the Apostle Paul committed unto the Lord. He committed that salvation that was freely his unto the Lord. In other words, the salvation then that Paul had was a gift from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Righteousness is a gift. Notice in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, notice verse 17. I'm sorry, I want to go back to verse 16. Not as it was by one that sinned, which turns out to be Adam, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. In other words, all men were condemned as a result of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Well, then righteousness is a free gift. God Almighty gave something to the Apostle Paul. There is something that...
I'm still here. Can anybody hear me? Jim may have lost his connection. I don't have any sound either. And he may have been talking right away and I stepped on him, like Norm did earlier. Haha, Norm. Okay, he'll, I guess, realize that he's not coming through and reboot and be back shortly.
Paul committed unto the Lord. He committed that salvation that was freely his unto the Lord. In other words, the salvation then that Paul had was a gift from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Righteousness is a gift. Notice in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, notice verse 17. I'm sorry, I want to go back to verse 16. Not as it was by one that sinned, which turns out to be Adam, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. In other words, all men were condemned as a result of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Well, then righteousness is a free gift. God Almighty gave something to the Apostle Paul. There is something that was committed unto the Apostle Paul. Paul committed unto the Lord. In other words, when Paul heard the gospel from Christ and realized that Jesus Christ had died for his sins on Calvary, Paul believed that and turned his salvation over to the Lord. Paul had been working all his life trying to keep the law, trying to be spotless, trying to be pure, trying to be innocent, trying to do that which was right in the eyes of God. And yet he found out by the very law that he was trying to keep that he wasn't doing that. He found out that he was a sinner. And so when he found out that Christ had died for him, he trusted Jesus Christ and committed his salvation unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned his salvation over to the Lord Jesus Christ as if to say, Lord, you save me or else I'll burn in hell. So there was something that he committed to the Lord. He committed his salvation to the Lord. There isn't a person listening to my voice today who is trying to keep yourself saved that have ever made that commitment. Every person, listen to me, that has committed their salvation to the faith of Christ. You've committed your salvation to the fact that Christ died for your sins. You've turned your salvation over to Him. Well, then you quit trying to be saved. Every person that is going to some altar somewhere and praying to get through to God and confessing your sins and repenting of your sins and doing it over and over and over, you've never committed your salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't have any peace. People say, well, hey, what are you talking about? I don't have any peace. I've been slain in the Spirit and had the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues. Oh, baloney. You go right back and repent of your sins and confess your sins, and then you go back and repent and you confess, and then you go back and you repent and you confess, and you do it over and over and over, and you tell me that the peace of God is reigning in your heart? I don't believe it. You have a guilt complex. Why do you have a guilt complex? Because you have never turned your salvation over to the Lord, believing that when He died for all your sins. You've never come to the place that you believe that there isn't anything you can do that would cause you to be condemned in the eyes of God. Because Jesus Christ's death paid for any crime you could commit. Now, there's a big problem in all this about the Lord, but it goes through the Apostle Paul. So I found out over the years that There's very little understanding, evidently, in preachers, because I listen to them preach on television. And so there's very little understanding of what Paul and his minister was all about. They don't know that. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Turn to Philippians. Well, what about Christ? Notice in Philippians chapter 2. Now, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Well, look in Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, the spirit, the attitude. Let this attitude be in you. Well, this is the attitude that was in Paul. Verse 6. Christ, the reference, Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what was the attitude of Paul? Well, it's the same attitude that Christ had. What? He made himself of no reputation. Now, if you go back to Second Timothy, and look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Then the Apostle Paul was not afraid. He was not afraid of dying. He was not afraid of being killed. He was not afraid of suffering. Notice in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Now, we're talking about the commitment of Paul. We're talking about Paul committing everything to the Lord, turning it over to the Lord, so he didn't worry about his salvation. He didn't worry about dying. Now, in Acts 26, the Lord told him in verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me." Now, in verse 16 again, God said in the middle of the verse, "to make thee a minister and a witness." The word witness comes from the word that carries the idea of being a martyr. In other words, from the get-go, the Apostle Paul knew that if he served the Lord, he'd be a martyr. If he served the Lord, there's every possibility that he'd get killed. Now, with these things in mind, keep in mind that the Lord, in general, had said to all the apostles, "You shall be witnesses unto me." Luke 24. "You shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." Well, God made Paul, the rebel, a witness. And the word witness carries the idea of ending up being a martyr. He told those apostles back there in Acts 1, verse 8, he said, "Tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me." I'm not saying that Paul was one of the 12. That's not what I'm trying to prove to you. I'm trying to prove to you. Paul said, be you followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Well, Jesus Christ went to Calvary. Jesus Christ bore a cross in your behalf. And Paul said that he came into this world to fill up the sufferings of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, Jesus Christ suffered for your sins, but to get the message out to you, Paul suffered. He went through a lot of suffering and eventually died as a result of it all. Notice in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 22, he's talking to the elders, the leaders of the church at Ephesus. In verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. In other words, I'm not going to I won't be detoured from my course as a result of being told that things are going to be bad there for me. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul is not afraid. And the warnings that he had that certain bad things are going to happen to him didn't move him. That didn't stop him. Notice in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, start reading with me, please. We'll start in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is what what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul had such a tremendous commitment of his salvation unto the Lord that he was totally unafraid to die. Because he knew that if he died, he'd go straight to be with the Lord. Why? Because he's saved. It wasn't with Paul, I hope that it'll work out. I really hope so. I've talked to even preachers and asked them about their salvation. Well, I hope I am, they said. Well, what is your hope in? Turns out their hope is in repentance. Their hope is in confessing their sins. And repenting and confessing their sins and repenting and confessing their sins and rededications and on and on and on. It never ends. Where is the end to it all? Well, in Paul, it's in trusting Christ and committing his salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's over with. So he said to Timothy, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, the Lord knoweth everyone that is his. Well, then if you are Christ, then the Lord knows you. Therefore, he can never in a judgment somewhere say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, for he does know you. He knows you because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You've committed your salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ and quit worrying about it. But there's some of you that listen to preachers and follow preachers who doubt their salvation. Well, let me just tell you right now, God committed something to the Apostle Paul. He committed a ministry to the Apostle Paul of the preaching of the grace of God. Well, God wouldn't commit the ministry of the grace of God under the Apostle Paul if Paul hadn't committed his salvation to the Lord. Every person that preaches today, sells works, believes he got saved the same way. You show me a man that has committed his salvation to the Lord, turned it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that he died for his sins at Calvary, trusting that he's righteous by the faith of Christ, justified by the faith of Christ, forgiven by the faith of Christ, saved by the faith of Christ, and so forth, trusting those things of the Lord. I'll show you a man that preaches that from the pulpit. But you show me a man that in the pulpit is constantly calling on people to repent of their sins and come forward and confess and on and on and on. I'll show you a man that is not satisfied with his salvation. He's not happy with his salvation. He believes that he's working it out. Well, the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God will never be committed to a man that isn't saved by the gospel of the grace of God. You can fight it until hell freezes over. It ain't going to change anything. Paul committed something to the Lord. What did he commit to him? His salvation, his eternal life, his justification and righteousness. He just turned it all over to the Lord, committed it unto him. He had worked in the law and failed. Now he's committing the salvation to the fact that Christ died for his sins at Calvary. And quit worrying about it. So when you find an individual like that, just as God committed the gospel of the grace of God unto the apostle, so it will be with any preacher in this age. So what did Paul preach? He preached the gospel of the grace of God. He preached salvation by grace through faith. He preached that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And so, Paul said, God had not given us the spirit of fear. So Paul wasn't afraid. Why? Whatever happened to him, he'd go to be with the Lord, which is far better. Well, there are very few preachers today that can say with Paul, make the comments that he made in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the context, he's telling if our bodies be dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Verse 5, he says, for he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Well, I bet you I'm talking to some preacher right now. You're not confident that if you left your body, you'd be present with the Lord. You don't know for sure whether you would or not. And so you preach that to people. You preach to people if they'll repent of their sins and confess and on and on. Then they can be sure, and yet then they have to do it again and again and again. Why? Because you're not confident. You teach them that they can't be confident. Paul was confident. So he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's not afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So the ministry that God committed unto Paul was based upon Paul's commitment of his salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ, which was by grace through faith. Christ died for your sins. Justification is free to you. The righteousness of God is available unto you just simply by you trusting the Lord and committing your salvation to Him. Will you trust Him now? Thank you for listening today. Until next time, Good day.